Broadcasting across the Steel City, this is 101.5 The Hawk.
Hey, everybody. Thanks so much for tuning in again tonight. I hope you've had a fantastic Tuesday. I'm Sarah Jessica, and this is Hot Shots on Air, as always. And tonight I'm hanging out with Anthony DiDomenico. He's a Hamilton-based pop/electronic singer-songwriter under the title D-Do. He's also the co-founder of marketing brand One New Era X and the co-founder of Yoga Fest. You can find Anthony on Instagram as Anthony DiDomenico, on YouTube as the same. You can also find him on Instagram under D-Do Music, so that's D1DO Music, and also on his website at D1DOmusic.com. So, hey, Anthony, thanks so much for jumping in here and talking to me.
Hey, Sarah, thanks so much for having me, and it's a pleasure to be on.
Yeah, anytime. So I guess, like, just to start everything off, just for any newbies around here, how would you describe your sound and style?
Great question. I would say intention means a lot to me when it comes to writing and crafting music. I feel like it's really important for me to have a message in the music I'm putting out there. So I'd say on a lyrical, contextual approach, that describes my sound quite a bit. But from a more of a genre perspective, I would say it's a mix between rock, pop, and hip-hop, if you could kind of merge those genres together right now. Blink-182 being a big inspiration as part of my childhood, so I think that's a good reference. And maybe a more modern, relatable artist would be something like a Machine Gun Kelly and MGK approach.
Mm-hmm, for sure. Who would you say are your biggest musical influences?
That's a great question. I would also say probably Queen being one of my biggest ones from when I was a child. My father always listened to him, and he just really sets a bar for, I think, vocal and lyrical talent. More recently, I'd say Justin Bieber, Blink-182, like I mentioned as well. Those are some of my big musical inspirations.
Yeah, definitely. When would you say that you first discovered music?
From when I was born, I think my family and my parents were always just loved playing and listening to music. So I was obviously always around it, like all of us. But I more recently found that it was like a sound of mine in about 2013, where I just started songwriting like playfully and not really thinking anything of it. And also not recognizing that it was actually a gift of mine. I just assumed like, oh, anybody could just kind of have lyrics and melodies come to them this easily and effortlessly and naturally. And it was more recently in the last like 2-3 years where I was like, oh, like this is really a gift. And it's not something to take for granted. It's something that needs to be exercised and also shared back with the world so that they could receive it. And as well as I could, you know, live out my full potential at the same time.
Mm-hmm. Do you remember what you listened to as a kid, and what has changed since then?
Yes, I listened to, like I said, a lot of like rock, I would say. Blink-182, Sum 41, Dashboard Confessional, a lot of just those traditional, you know, all-American rejects. And as I grew up, you know, more into society, I think that's where the hip-hop and kind of some of the mainstream music weaved in. And then I used to run events and nightclubs for a large chapter of my life. And that's where I really opened my mind to the electronic house music, dance music, and tropical house. You know, every genre has a time and a place, I feel like. But to be able to kind of appreciate so many different ones and then take aspects of and elements of different sounds and recreate them into your own, I think is a beautiful way to just innovate music as a whole, generation by generation.
Mm-hmm. Did your family's musical influences, did their taste, do you think that had effect on what you end up creating now as an adult?
I'd say yes and no, like to a degree. A lot of my like I said, my dad listened to Queen as well, so that was a big influence, and a lot of the music he liked I resonated with as well, same with my mother. But there's also sounds that I liked that really didn't resonate with them too, so I think it's a little bit of both, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. When did you start singing?
I started singing in 2013, like I mentioned, when I first wrote my first song. That's when I would define that I actually started singing, and then more like with a focused intention was in 2019, where I was like, okay, I really need to go for this. I need to train. I need to really exercise my vocals and, yeah, open up in a way I never have before.
Yeah, definitely. So you mentioned that you started creating music around the same time that you started singing, kind of in 2013. And you mentioned that you created your first song then. Do you remember anything about that song and what it was like?
Yeah, if I'm being honest, I definitely felt like I was in a darker place at that point in my life. Mm-hmm. I was in first year university. I kind of wasn't really clear on my direction. There was a lot of push and pulls between just like, who do I want to be and who am I being? And, you know, not really sure the direction I really wanted to take. So I feel like a lot of that came through in the original sound. But it's beautiful to just look back and recognizing that that was all part of the journey, to kind of go through a period of darkness and uncertainty, and even recognizing some of the darkness in the world where it kind of made me feel tainted, like, oh, like the world has a dark place. It is a dark place to a degree, but then recognizing, hey, you know, if there's things that you see darkness in, well, who am I going to choose to be? Someone who contributes to that darkness, or someone who wants to contribute, say, to bringing more light, and choosing a, you know, a frequency of love, and sharing that in the best way that I can.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. When did you begin to look at music as something more than a hobby?
That would have been 2019. So yeah, just 2 years ago, when I had went to California, and I went through a leadership program down there, and it was just bringing so much to my forefront, basically, on how when I was a child, I think I've shared this with you personally before, but when I was a child, I used to have dreams, and like even before I go to bed, I'd like see myself on stage in front of like mass amounts of people, and like singing and performing and just being on a stage. And I wasn't raised like someone who was like, oh, you're going to be a singer one day. It wasn't really part of how I was wired as a child. So in a way, it was kind of random that these visions were coming to me, you know. But then years later, it was about like recognizing that, like, whoa, these dreams that we have as a child, and not only me, all of us, there's a reverence to give to them. And instead of seeing them as coincidence, or, oh, I was just a kid, I didn't know better, I want to be an astronaut one day, recognizing that, like, what if those are, you know, signs from God, if you want to say, or signs from something beyond ourselves? You don't even have to call it God. And when I gave it that reverence and that appreciation, I was like, all right, let's go for this. What if it was pointing me somewhere? What if it was my intuition trying to show me a path that maybe didn't make sense in my mind, but my heart clearly felt and saw? So yeah, after taking that leap, that was really just recognizing, like, it's time to go big or go home.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Did you study music or take professional lessons?
No, I did not. I do take professional lessons, but I do not. I didn't study music theory.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What lessons do you take?
I take vocal lessons with a couple different teachers, and I've had a couple different teachers over the years. And my specific teacher recently now, her name's Maddie Robertson. She's amazing. She's based out of Quebec. And our main focus, and my main focus actually in this chapter, has been like, I just want to open my heart more through my music. I want people to just really capture my true essence of the man and the person I am. As much as it's about hitting notes perfectly and hitting vibratos perfectly, it's like, I just want them to feel me and who I truly am.
Yeah, definitely. Yes. When did you join your first band or perform solo?
I first performed collectively, actually, it was with myself and my ex-partner at the time, Joanna Biss. We actually sang a live performance. Actually, there was a couple others. There was also Adriano Peonessa, Dre Peo, and Don Carlo, both Hamilton musicians as well. We entered a song contest for the Juno Awards when they were in Hamilton in 2015. And we ended up winning People's Choice, and we got second place overall. But what that song contest led to was actually a live televised performance. So that was my first time actually just stepping into it. It was also my first time writing a song for a song contest, and we ended up making it you know, as far as we did. So that was also just other signs, I feel like, from the universe. It was like, hey, you have something here. The first time you decide to, like, enter in a song contest, you're, you know, you're in the top two finalists and you're performing on live TV and getting free tickets to the Juno. It just, it really helped activate, you know, that direction as well.
Yeah. Well, congrats. That's awesome.
Thank you.
Yeah. How did your family and friends react to you pursuing music?
I would say it came off as a, what's the way to put it? Like, it kind of caught people off guard to a degree. It's like, even old friends, same thing. It's like, oh, I didn't know you sang. I was like, well, I didn't either, in a way. But I know that my heart's calling me for this. And truthfully, my family, as much as it was like a curveball to them, not once have they said, like, you shouldn't do this. They've actually been very supportive. And to the point where they're actually starting to see now, they've been believing in me and trusting in this process. They're starting to see the music that's come out, and you know, there's so much music that hasn't been released or shared with the world just yet, but they're seeing some of the behind the scenes and the creation process, and they're like, wow, like, this is great music, this is catchy, this is meaningful, this is what people can appreciate and hear. So yeah, it's been beautiful to have that support as well.
That's fantastic. What are the major ways that your music has changed since you first started writing?
Since I first started writing, it was definitely from a place of, what do people want to hear? Mm-hmm. And the evolution has definitely been more moving into, who am I, and expressing the message that I feel I have to share with the world, still from a space of, like, you know, again, acknowledging that people are going to be taking this in. So what if I had to say something and I had someone's attention, what would I want them to hear? But it's rooted in the space of, this is my message that I'm here to deliver, basically. So that's been overall, I think, a big pivot over the years.
Yeah. Why music as opposed to any other art form, like a visual arts or performance arts? Why music for you?
So for me, I love all arts, so I wouldn't even say that. But music definitely, it feels like the calling of just a gift that I have to share with the world, beyond a lot of other ones. But that being said, even with what we do with our experiential marketing agency, I'm very much involved in the arts as a whole, visual arts, performing arts, everything. And they very much weave into music, which I think is brilliant. So, for example, as you would know, you know, there's a lot of photography that happens with photo shoots or album art, cover art, graphic design as well. Mm-hmm. Music videos is a very huge component, you know, integrating even painters or live paintings when it comes to album art. There's just so many ways to weave the different elements of arts into the form of music. So yeah, music's just like my quarterback, I would say. But they're all weaved.
Yeah, totally. So you're based in Hamilton. Did you grow up in the city?
Did I? Yes, I'm born and raised in Hamilton, actually. Love it here, and I always have.
Yeah. Why did you choose to stay here and then base your music career out of the city?
It's interesting, because even like growing up through high school, moving into university, I remember hearing a lot of opinions about Hamilton from even close friends, and not like, oh, I don't like it here, I want to go to Toronto, or like, Hamilton sucks. And I never felt that way. I always felt like Hamilton is amazing. Like, the people of Hamilton are amazing. Like, there's so much potential on the horizon for Hamilton. You know, it's not just this like pre-established city that's so great. It's like a city that's rising, you know, and I've always just seen that beauty in it personally. And I don't know, with that being said as well, I just had this faith that, like, I was born here for a reason. Of all the places in the world, even to yourself, like, why are you doing a radio show in Hamilton? Like, but there's a sacredness. Like, this is, we chose here, we were placed here, I don't know, but we're here. And we can either sit here and resist it and talk about how much we hate it, or focus on how much beauty there is within this city, the waterfall capital of the world, you know, the arts community, and just, again, the potential of what's to come in this beautiful space.
Yeah, I love that. What do you think is special about Hamilton's music community?
I think the talent speaks a lot for me. I know so many amazing artists, especially musically, and a lot of them just aren't, like, they're not even, if you want to say, going for it, you know, but they're like epic, like incredibly talented. They could just freestyle or come up with a riff on absolutely nothing, or, you know, play incredible covers to any sound. So I think the talent speaks volumes, and as well, I think just the openness to co-create. Like, I could reach out to these people, and even if they're not necessarily pursuing it as a career, if I'm like, hey, do you want to, like, make a piano piece for this song I'm thinking about, it's like, oh, usually it's pretty well received. You know, I've done remixes with other artists, like the Dreamin' remix that I released a few months back. And the same thing, I was like, hey, I have this song, a single, and I'm feeling called to remix it. I'm going to send you guys an instrumental, a couple people that I reached out to, and not one of them declined. They were like, yes, this sounds amazing. Send me the beat. I'll write something. I'll send it off to you in no time. And, you know, just that openness to co-create is a really special element.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, totally. Who are some talented Hamilton-based artists that you think deserve more spotlight?
I think Dre Payo is an amazing Hamilton artist that I would say deserves more spotlight. But he, I actually think he's paused on his music right now. He's blown up on his TikTok in a couple different directions. Mm-hmm. But he is also just a great artist, has some great songs in the past you could hear too. Christine C. Costa, she's been in some of my music as well. And she's actually the Canadian karaoke champion of the world. Wow. Incredible vocals from Hamilton. If I were to add two more, I would say Jake Breathe, amazing hip-hop rapper from Hamilton, and also made music with him in the past. Super epic freestyler. Like, you just put a beat on and this guy can tell you stories that rhyme and make perfect sense in, like, without even thinking about it. It's truly a gift. And then lastly, I'd say Jillian Wisborg, another just beautiful artist, same thing, just lyrics, melodies, anything, just with a big open heart, ready to perform at any time. So yes.
Yeah, definitely. Who would be a dream collaborator of yours? So, you know, think big.
Great question. I would say Justin Bieber. Yeah. Honestly, I think, you know, there's a lot he represents and stands for that resonates with me. And I just think overall his reach and influence to be able to touch, you know, the youth in a way that, like, can really help shape their lives and then their way of thinking is so powerful. So to be able to infuse with an artist that, you know, that is that talented and has that level of just overall connection, the fact that he's Canadian from Stratford, where some of my family lives too, I think that would be a beautiful collaboration.
Yeah. And then now looking locally, who's a local artist that you haven't quite collaborated yet with that you would love to work on something with?
That is another great question. If I were to say locally, just give me a second here.
Yeah.
So the person that's actually coming to me is somebody who I have collaborated in the past. Her name is Joanna Biss. Mm-hmm. I mentioned she's an ex-partner of mine. We actually used to make a lot of music together while we were a couple. And we went our different directions in terms of a relationship, but she truly has gone through her own metamorphosis as I have when it comes to just life and overall musical talent as well. And I feel like it'd be beautiful when the stars align to be able to come to the table in the recording studio as the new people that we are, to create a sound that resonates with who we both are now and share that with the world. I feel like that would be a beautiful collaboration, all in divine timing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you recently released a remix of your single Dreaming, featuring Christine C. Costa, Boris, Jillian Wisborg, and Matthew Carmelo. Why remix the song that you originally dropped in 2019, and why so many features on that track?
Great question. Thanks again for asking these. So when I was in the my trip to California in 2019, a big part of the vision of, you know, just going for music, I went to the Self-Realization Fellowship, which is a giant meditation garden that was created by a man named Pranahamsa Yogananda. And I was meditating in there. It was my first time here. And these downloads were coming through me, like downloads meaning like thoughts, just ideas. It was like I was just sitting there in silence, and it was like message after message felt like it was just like penetrating my being. And one of those messages was the idea of like the campaign for Dreamin', because I was there shooting the music video for the actual first single I had released. And then while I was thinking, well, I wasn't really thinking about it, but while I was meditating, this idea of like promotions kind of just came through, like, how's this message going to get delivered? And then it was like, well, how can this message also be in service to other artists and other friends in my community? And said, like, make a remix, create an opportunity for other artists to be part of your single of Dreamin' and help their light shine through the platform that I'm creating. And I'm going to put all this marketing and promotions into my own single. Why not weave other artists and talents, and at the same time give them light and integrate a new sound into the remix. And four of them was just because they were just people on my radar, like Matthew Carmelo, another great artist who I've been working with. We have a couple different songs that we've done together. Also, he works closely with us with One New Era Experiences. And same thing, Jillian, Christine, Boris, we were all just kind of on each other's radar. So they're the first people I reached out to. And that was history. And there's actually a vlog series on my YouTube channel, if anyone dives in, and you could see the Dream in Cali vlog series, which is just the overall leap into a dream, going to California and vlogging the journey. There's actually a whole story on that specific moment when I left the meditation garden. I was like, whoa, these downloads came through to me, and this is the spark of the Dream in remix, and the rest is history. You know, it's out in a reality now.
Yeah. So it seems like it was a big dream of yours to visit California. What does California mean to you?
It's interesting because I don't know. Yeah. It's very similar and relatable to the dream of music. I was a child having these visions being on stage, and like, I didn't know why. I honestly could not tell you. I never like watched a bunch of movies that made me want to be a singer or something, or had a bunch of music lessons and felt like I was so good at it that was what it was going to be. And same with California. I had watched movies about it. It was just this intuitive calling. There's no better way to put it, that it was like this voice in my heart. And I think the best way to compare it would be to like those stories you hear of like a child who's like, I want to be an astronaut. Like, sure, buddy. Like, a lot of times it sounds so unrealistic, you know, to a parent or, you know, someone who's kind of grown up, but there's this sacredness to it. And California was the same thing. And truthfully, I had this dream to go to California since I was a child, and to the point where I remember being in elementary school and writing down in like my yearbook or whatever it was, graduating, saying like my dreams and goals. And it was like, I'm going to go to California, I'm going to go to UCLA, I'm going to learn how to surf. And then later in life, I ended up meeting some friends out in Spain, and I started going to Spain every single year for the last, like, I think 8-9 years now. And so California kind of just moved onto the back burner for me. I was like, I could go to California, but I don't really know anybody there. Like, you know, I'm going to just keep going to see my friends in Spain, and Spain's a beautiful country. But then just last year, 2 years ago when I went, I was like, whoa, I need to honor this calling. I've always had this voice saying to go to California, and I could sit here and like not, because I don't know anybody there and I don't know what to expect, maybe just turn the other way or just take a leap into an unknown, say, and trust that intuitive calling. And then when I did that, like, so many miracles revealed themselves. The people I met, the way that we met, like through the moments and synchronicities of just like walking down a path, and then like someone you talk to at the exact timing as you're looking for something, like moment by moment, there were so many things of magic that like you just can't script if you tried to plan it all. And even me saying on this interview just isn't going to do it justice, but all I can say is I hope that, you know, it inspires other people to just take that leap into that dream.
Yeah. Well, it's obviously something you're very passionate about. So I'm super, super stoked that you got to go there and have that experience.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Yeah. So who did you work with to record and produce the track?
To record and produce the track, I did the recordings and production of Dreamin' the single with a man named Millen D'Agostino. He's from Waterdown, an old friend of mine, really talented music producer. He's worked with some incredible artists. A lot of his music's been on the radio here in Canada. And he used to go by the artist name of Cromac. But yeah, you could find him on Instagram as Milano Music. And then the remix and a lot of the other music I've actually recorded, mixed, and mastered myself. Recorded and mixed myself and send off to get mastered to Millen now. But yeah, I decided it was time to invest in some good equipment and, you know, just put my own heart to it.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. What do you hope that your listeners take away from Dreamin'?
As I say in the whole vlog series, it's basically like me leaping into my dream and vlogging the process of it, is to hopefully reveal the magic that happens from it for my own story. But the point of capturing it is to that, as that magic reveals itself, that other people can see it and hopefully leap into their dream. And truthfully, leaping into your dream changes your entire trajectory for life. And as we do that as individuals, we are literally changing the surface of the planet. Like, the person you were going to be if you didn't leap into your dream versus the person you are if you do leap into your dream are two entirely different beings, you know. And those beings interact with other people through the day-to-days of life in different way, and you feel differently in your heart. So it truly does change the entire frequency of our planet one person at a time.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, we're going to take a little break here and actually play the single from Dido for everyone listening. This is the remix of 2019's Dreamin', a single about hope, defying expectations, and pursuing the life you've always dreamt of.
Risk youth to a troubled teen, breaking lies and getting rowdy, now just chasing one big dream. Teachers thinking I'd be dead or be incarcerated, I'd even think the same, but there is so much harsher statements than that.
So I put behind the failures and what happened yesterday, and I brush off this dream, 'cause this could be the one. They'll say it can't be done, they'll try to put you down.
See myself getting out the same spot. I'd overthink my fantasies on better days until my brain rots. But geez, I got me a dream, so I don't care what they need. I'ma succeed, 'cause I
sleep at night, but when I sleep I'm only dreaming of you holding me tight. We've been low, we've been high, but between you and I, can we reach for the stars so our dreams come alive tonight?
But all I've learned I'm aware, and all the knowledge and strength gained I say I'm prepared. 'Cause when you know the reasoning of why these certain things happen, it makes it a whole lot easier and it works faster. When you just breathe and meditate peacefully as everything falls in place, knowing just to let things be. And although there's some days I feel like blowing my brains out, I know I'm here meant to amaze crowds with the great sounds that I create proud. That one breakthrough will pay off for all the breakdowns.
For anyone just tuning in, this is Hot Shots on Air, and tonight I'm speaking with Anthony DiDomenico, a Hamilton-based pop-slash-electronic singer-songwriter, creative director-slash-entrepreneur, and co-founder of One New Era X and Yoga Fest. So we just got back from playing a remix that you released earlier this year, but you also released another single called Don't Fade. How long did it take to write that single?
Don't Fade actually came through pretty quick. It was a remix to artist Jake Breathe's single called The Past Has Passed. And my friend Jillian and I both heard it and loved the song. And we had been making music together and wanted to open a relationship with Jake musically. And we're like, yo, we should remix this song. I feel like we contribute to it, and as great as it is, I think it'd be a fun thing to go on. And then sure enough, it ended up evolving from a remix to literally a new song, which is why it wasn't called The Past Is Past Remix. It was called Don't Fade. And that's basically how that birthed.
Yeah. What do you feel as though your collaborators brought to that track?
Everyone brings different elements and just overall brings themselves to it. And there's all things that we have as individuals that, you know, others don't have. So to just bring them into the table, whether it's, you know, melody ideas, lyrical context, just different sounds as a whole, we all just brought who we are. You know, I was able to help with video production and, you know, having some equipment that I mentioned I invested in, being able to record in my home studio, like these things. We all brought beautiful elements to the table.
What's the story behind Don't Fade?
I would say same. It's very similar to Dreamin' and what I mentioned through music. Just having a message that that speaks to the heart, and it says right in the title, just don't fade. You know, even when you're going through the darkest times, it's never a time to give up. Just keep walking, and you know, trust your heart, trust your story, trust your journey, and you know, the magic will reveal itself as you keep walking.
Yeah, well, that's a fantastic message.
Thank you.
Yeah. Who did you work with to record and produce this one?
That one was actually recorded and mixed all in my home studio. I did some of the production and then sending it off to Milano Music for the mastering process.
And what do you hope your listeners take away from this single?
I would say same thing that the lyrical context message mentioned, just don't fade, don't give up. You know, if you're listening and, you know, you're feeling low, or you're feeling like you're not good enough, or you're feeling like you can't do something, just don't fade. Don't give up. You can do it. You know, it starts with believing in yourself. If you don't believe in yourself, how is anyone supposed to believe in you? And, you know, just really changing that inner dialogue and being aware of that inner dialogue. If you're telling yourself you don't feel like you're worth it, just catch yourself and stop there and correct yourself. Like, no, I am worth it. I am strong. I am a great leader. I am amazing at this. Or I am loved. Whatever you need to say to just rewire those ways of thinking that are toxic and kind of hold you back, don't fade. Don't fade.
Mm-hmm. What kind of advice would you have for somebody whose family and friends don't support them in pursuing their dreams?
That's a great question. Give me a second, because there's a quote that really hits hard on that.
Yeah, it's, for sure.
This, I don't want to butcher it. It's not coming to me, but basically it's something about when people doubt how far you'll go so far they can't hear you anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Or go so far that you can't hear them anymore, something along those lines. But ultimately, yeah, just like let that negative talk, if you want to call it that, or doubt in you, be the reason to help you prove yourself that that's not true, you know? And the only time I think those opinions will affect us, or we'll let them affect us, is when we choose to believe them, you know? So yeah, don't believe them, and tell yourself you can do it, no matter who else is telling you you can't.
Yeah, for sure. So you began your musical journey pretty recently, and especially compared to the businesses that you've started within Hamilton. Can you tell me a bit about the beginnings of One New Era X and what you originally envisioned for the brand?
Yes, so One New Era X is actually partnered with a great friend, brother, and amazing visionary artist of mine named Kun Hua. He is such a visionary, and we just both connected on I think our purpose in life. It was more coming together as recognizing we don't want to just be another business, you know, we want to actually bring love and infuse love into the world through whatever it is we do, from even from a business perspective. So a big part of, I think, our mandate as One New Era X is, you know, experiential marketing and simplicity. And with that comes a lot of dynamic elements such as videography, photography services, event planning and coordinating, fabrication. We help design and build trade show booths and pop-up art installations, things like that. But ultimately, the mission behind it is helping connect artists with business opportunities. So we're basically a bridge between corporate clients that are looking to bring creativity and weave creativity into whatever it is their brand needs, and we're helping bridge them with the right artists and networks to execute and energize those specific visions.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What was your first taste of success with your company?
First taste of success. It's tough to narrow it down. There's been a lot of beautiful, I'd say, monumental moments. I'd say a big one has been actually working and building a relationship with DeSantis Homes. There's actually a Hamilton developer. They've been around for, I believe, over 50 years. And it was a milestone to be able to kind of like what I would say is step into that octave of business, because, you know, we're a young team, a young crew. But like with that, we have innovative ideas and we really can help brands energize projects. So to have a company as reputable and grand, if you want to say, as DeSantis Homes believe in us and trust us and give us even the opportunity to step into that condo development arena, and we helped them actually host a really big launch event for their condo called Como Condos back in 2019, and so we helped the entire launch experience and sales experience activate. We booked artists, we did the decor, we brought in like live muralists, we brought the DJ, production, everything from that perspective, and helped them focus on the sales side of this event. And it was just a huge milestone for how smooth the evening went, how successful it was from their end as a business. And they ended up winning an Ingenuity and Marketing Award because of that event from the Hamilton Building Association as well. So yeah, that was, I would say, a really big milestone for us, and it's blossomed into more that continues to evolve day by day, even with them specifically as a brand.
Oh, for sure. For sure. What's been your favorite project that you've created within your company?
I love that's a great question too, because every project has its own sacredness and then like aspects that I appreciate. You know, we've just been doing a recent project for Indigenous people recently, and it's been beautiful to hear the different stories that they have to share, and some of the amazing untold stories of their culture, just to be able to hear it while it's being captured. So that's beautiful. And then working with companies like Audi Hamilton was really special to me, because I've always been someone who has a passion for cars, exotic cars, and just the art behind those. And Audi being such a reputable brand as well, and just actually making these dreams and visions a reality from a kid who used to like play with Binky cars in my family room and on my floor, and now to be like working with exotic car brands, you know, Affinity Luxury Car Rentals as well. They're an exotic luxury car rental company, and we shoot videos and do a lot of photography and artistry work with them too. So yeah, there's just been so many that I just feel really grateful for. So thank you for asking and helping me recognize that as well.
Yeah, no problem. What are your future goals for the company, and what are some projects that you'd love to get involved with?
I would say just overall scaling up is a future goal. I'd love to be able to build a bigger team, have more support from other people from an internal perspective that really stand by the mission of the business with helping connect and bridge artists with visionary brands, and at the same time be able to provide more opportunity for, you know, working with, say, more companies at once, and like overall scalability, and not having to do, say, so much as an individual with a smaller team, being able to delegate more, where we all kind of focus on our specialties and bring those skill sets together as, you know, as a bigger, you know, a bigger organization. I think that those are my big goals. And yeah, I'd say other big companies I'd like to work with is, I would say, international resorts have been on my radar. And obviously, since COVID, we haven't really thought too much about traveling just yet. But I'd love to just get into the web of helping with creative marketing and, you know, brand storytelling for some amazing international high-end resorts that we would be able to travel to with our team, you know, create a bunch of content, create a bunch of experiences and at the same time enjoy the whole process, right?
Yeah. Yeah. That sounds like a really interesting project to get involved with. Do you know what kind of content you'd like to create for those companies?
Pardon me?
Oh, yeah. Do you know what kind of content you'd like to create for those companies, ideally?
Yes. I'd say, like, we really love to focus, especially when it comes to, like, video and photography, is social media specialized. So I'd say lifestyle is really great. Like, there's so many amazing companies and resorts and facilities out there that have so much to offer, like, so many different elements. And I feel like it's just something that they can use the support on, from what I've seen from even sifting through some of the accounts, to be able to bring a television ad caliber of content into your social media and consistency of posting, whether it's showing like the spa as just one aspect of your resort, and then jumping into like the beach, and then jumping into the performances in the evening, and then your cuisine, your penthouses and rooms. There's just so many elements that all could have their own features and specific content that I would love to help bring to the table for some of these brands.
Yeah, totally. When was Yoga Fest created?
Yoga Fest was created in 2015.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What inspired you to create the festival, and what was your goal?
Great question. We went to the yoga conference in Toronto originally, and that was a big inspiration regarding, I think I was 22 or 23 years old at the time, and going through a transition of like out of like drinking and nightclubs and really wanting to get away from that life and feeling it wasn't just who I wanted to be and not my greatest fulfillment anymore, and starting to find more calling into spirituality and spiritual development, self-development, yoga, meditation, all those things. And it just kind of wasn't the norm at that time, especially for someone of that age. I had a couple close friends who were also kind of on that wavelength too, looking for a similar thing. And then when we had went to the yoga conference in Toronto, I feel like the biggest thing about it was just this gathering, I would say, this calling of like-minded individuals. It was like the only place I'd ever been where like there were other people who like are interested in meditating or who are interested in yoga, and it really sparked that like, wow, we need this in Hamilton. But obviously it wasn't about like taking what they had and bringing it to Hamilton. It was about really innovating and bringing our own version of that. And how would we love to see this gathering where it still is this call out, this beacon for like minds to come together in the name of, unity, love, self-development, self-growth, but at the same time bringing that like festive and playful element. Because like I had mentioned prior to this, I was in the nightclub industry and running like decor designs, experiences, performances for the nightlife industry. So to be able to weave that like festivity and celebrational aspect of the nightlife into like something that's spiritual and still heart-centered and really focused on helping people connect but still let loose a bit at the same time. So that was a big spark.
Mm-hmm. What was it about the nightlife that made you eventually leave that scene?
It was interesting because we had launched an amazing experience at Sarcoa, it was called, which was at Discovery Drive in Hamilton, right on the waterfront. And it was, in my opinion, by far one of the nicest restaurant and experiential venues that Hamilton has ever seen. And it was huge, huge waterfront patio. And we started doing Friday night experiences there with DJs, with crowds. There was cabanas for rent, there was food, there was dancing, and it was an absolute success. For anyone who's been there and was there back in those days can definitely, I would say, support what I'm sharing here. It was just special, and to this day people talk about it. And it got shut down because of noise complaints across the water from Burlington, I believe. And it was just kind of unfortunate. It put a bad taste in my mouth because here I was feeling like we were doing something so purposeful, so meaningful. And like, yes, you had, an audience of people drinking on a weekend, but there's a cultural acceptance to that in a way as well, that I felt like it was kind of, it put a bad taste in my mouth when it was trying to get shut down, because I felt like we were bringing tourism to the city, which we were. We had people from Toronto booking booths, booking cabanas, booking dinners just to come to this place, Sarcoa, that everyone was talking about, and it was on the cusp of social media coming out, so the word was really spreading fast for this thing, and it just kind of put a bad taste in my mouth when it got shut down because of the noise complaints. When those noise complaints were just people having fun, really enjoying their weekend, connecting. I met so many people through that chapter of my life, and I just recognize that industry just isn't the most well received because it's all perspective, right? And I just felt like even me personally, I started to get away from just the enjoyment of drinking and whatnot as well, and just didn't feel like it was my highest calling anymore. So I had to make a pivot, which then led to the chapter of Yoga Fest.
Mm-hmm. Now, planning the entire festival, I can't imagine is a very quick process or a very cheap process. How long did it take for you to plan Yoga Fest? And did you have any sort of funding?
Interesting, yeah, because we did not get any funding from grants or anything, wow. Unfortunately. We had applied for some in the past, but we had never gotten approved. But it never stopped us from, I think, just energizing the vision. And I would say a big part of planning, and I must acknowledge strongly, is teamwork. Like, the team of Yoga Fest has been so in it for the right reasons that it wasn't just so rooted in like, oh, I'm only doing this if I get paid, and including myself. There was actually a lot of, if you want to call it, charity work and contribution to this vision, because it was something that we all felt was beyond ourselves. It wasn't about like, what's in it for me to do this. It was like, whoa, the world needs this. Hamilton needs this as being part of the world, you know? So it's up to us to do our best and put our best foot forward to help bring this to reality. And year by year, you know, I'd say if when it comes to finances, the vendors and the sponsors helped a lot with bringing it to life. And, you know, as we moved years later, we started to actually sell tickets instead of doing free festivals. And that helps with being able to then book indoor venues, which obviously aren't cheap when it comes to renting them for multi-days. And yeah, just one day at a time, the local businesses supporting, the team supporting, and just the word and the message getting out there, and people just genuinely appreciating, I think, what was being offered was what allowed it to just continue growing over the years.
Yeah. What kind of feedback have you received from some attendees?
Honestly, I think that's the biggest part that touches my heart, was just the feedback and the way that it's shaped and shifted people's lives. Someone actually who we met through Yoga Fest shared with us their story of how they were just on the cusp of suicide, as terrible and as sad as that sounds. And, you know, they'd seen the ads for the festival. They wanted to come, but they didn't have money to buy a ticket. And then we ended up doing a giveaway contest. And interestingly enough, this was the person that won the contest. And that day, they were sharing how they weren't feeling like coming. They had this free ticket, but then they just didn't want to go. So they ended up getting on a bus and just going for it and coming. And they took a bus to Luna Station, dropped them off out front, and they weren't sure they wanted to come again. It was like, should I just go back and get back on the bus? But then something in them said, like, just go. They came through the front doors, and they said from that moment when they walked through the front doors, something swept through their body. They said they'd never felt so welcomed and loved before, and all of a sudden just part of something. And it really shifted their perspective. And to hear the story first person, it's not something we've really shared too publicly. It's something I've spoken with people on a personal level when it's come up, but it blew my mind, because you know sometimes we get distracted of like, oh my god, like, you know, are things done up right? Is the decor right? Or like, you know, is the stage ready? And just all the technicalities of running an experience. But ultimately, it's just like, it's the gathering, it's the people coming together that really fuels everything, right? And it just reminds you of like, we're doing this for a reason, you know, irrelevant of how much it makes or loses at the end of the day. It's like, you change people's lives, you save people, you know? So yeah, powerful.
That's really powerful. What do you hope for the future of Yoga Fest?
I hope for the future of Yoga Fest that it gets the funding and support it needs to scale and touch even more hearts that it needs to, and also can fund more of a team and a bigger team being part of making it happen. Because like you said, it is a lot to put on a festival, and, you know, to have more people and more funding behind it, energizing that reality would be really helpful to just you know, take more loads off of people's chests. And like I mentioned earlier, just to have everyone focusing on their part and being compensated fully for it is something that I feel like would be an amazing, you know, just long-term step for the scalability of it. And I would love to see it travel internationally as well. Like, I feel like California could really use what Yoga Fest has to offer, at least from where I was down in San Diego specifically, and Los Angeles. Same with where I've been in Spain. As much as it needs to be here in Hamilton, it's something that I feel like anyone could appreciate and find joy in worldwide.
Mm-hmm. Well, I really hope you get the funding because you guys deserve it.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Yeah. A lot, Sarah.
Yeah. So there's still one single that we haven't spoken about yet. So Save Tonight was released in 2020. What's the meaning behind that track?
Save Tonight was actually kind of a pop-up single, because if you've seen on my channel Dreamin', there's actually a Dreamin' remastered now. So that was my first single, and I was kind of waiting on the music video to be finalized, edited, and released before dropping like my next wave of singles. And like I mentioned, there's a lot more to come. But the music video for the Dreamin' original took longer than anticipated, because it was really a big vision coming together. If you see it now, it's a whole compilation of basically a year of a dream coming to reality. But obviously, you know, COVID happened within that timeline, and I just felt this kind of inner calling to like make music. As much as the world was going through a dark period, especially in the first couple months, we didn't really know what was happening or how serious or not serious it was going to be, or it was. And I just felt like, for me, I wanted to contribute, and the way that I could contribute was just sharing my voice, sharing a message. Again, Save Tonight, the whole message behind it was just about really embracing the moment. We don't really know, you know, where our life's going, what tomorrow brings us. So to just really embrace now, you know, when the world feels like it's falling, can we save tonight? It's just ultimately, yeah, like, things around you can be chaotic, but what do you still have? Let's hear now. And I had reached out to Christine to see if she wanted to be part of it. She actually helped come up with some of the chorus and the verses, which was super powerful too. And yeah, it was history ever since that.
Mm-hmm. How long did it take to write that single?
That one took, I think, a night. And then when I had reached out to Christine, she came in with like a pre-chorus and as well as, like I mentioned, the second verse. So I'd say within like 2-3 days, that whole song was written.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Who did you record and produce that track with?
That track was also self-recorded and produced, and I sent it off to get mastered.
Yeah, yeah. What do you hope that your audience takes away from Save Tonight?
I would say pretty much what I just mentioned about just embracing the moment, you know, when the world around you might seem like it's going chaotic or it's a mess, just take a moment to tap into right now and what you have to appreciate, because I feel like perspective is such a valuable weapon, both positively and negatively. You know, you could look at, let's say, the rain. You know, maybe you like had a plan to do something outside and you were hoping for sun, and you could be like, oh my god, like, I hate the rain and I wish it didn't rain right now, and you're upset about it. But if you just were like maybe shift that perspective, like, oh well, imagine if it never rained, or imagine if there was no rain right now. You know, the plants need it. It's clearing the skies, it's rejuvenating the air, you know, it's moving energy throughout the planet. You know, there's always just different ways to look at things. So I would say the reminder is just to like use perspective to your advantage as best as you can when you're in a tough time or a challenging time. Just try and allow yourself to zoom out a little bit from the bird's eye view and find a different way to look at the same thing.
Mm-hmm. I see that you create music videos for basically every single of yours, for Dreamin', for Don't Fade, and then also Save Tonight. Do you think music videos are important for you?
100%. And they're a huge part of the art. I feel like it's just to be able to integrate that layer into that multi-sensory aspect of music. Like, a visual is a whole part in telling the story and reflecting that lyrical message, and also reflecting that digital audio. So yeah, I love music videos, and I definitely plan on having a lot more with my next singles.
Yeah. Do you shoot for like a certain feeling or aesthetic within your videos?
I would say like overall, I aim for like a professional caliber, at least visually. I have a lot of help as well, and I feel like that's my vision as the music and the journey continues to scale, to be able to bring in more of the One New Era X artists and videographers to like step in to be hired to make the videos for Dido Music. And you know, I think me just doing my first couple was to kind of set the caliber so that others can then see, like, look, this is my direction and brand that I'd like to kind of move into as an artist. And then from there, hopefully it just continues to evolve from that point. So, yes.
Yeah. Can you think of a major music career milestone that you hope to hit someday soon? So whether that's playing a certain venue, being a part of a certain festival, maybe signing to a label, is there any sort of milestone you can think of that you'd love to hit?
Yes, I would love to be part of a huge festival. I think that would be a big milestone. Which one is a good question? Something just, I think, based around love and having a big attendance, maybe like an Envision festival or something along those lines. But at the same time, I would love to see myself performing at Yoga Fest and really bringing in this call and response genre that I have to come, that I haven't shared much about this call, but I would just love to see that vision come to life and really impacting the youth as well at these kind of large scale experiences. That's big milestones for me.
Yeah. What can we look forward to seeing from you?
My next single is called Wifey, and that's coming out soon. I'm actually shooting the music video on Friday, about to kick that off, but the single is ready to rock. And again, it's really in that Blink-182 element. I know I mentioned at the beginning that's part of my genre, is like a Blink-182 rock sound, but if you were to listen to my music today, you wouldn't hear much of that. But a lot of the singles that are to come, the Wifey being the first one kind of in this sound, it was like this new code and unlocked sound that I found in myself that was like, oh, like this is my childhood, this is the music that's really my roots. So finding my voice in that key and that style, and then so many more came after that. So Wifey is the next single. It's also based on a true story, and yeah, I really am excited to share this one because it's catchy, that's for sure.
Awesome. Well, I'm looking forward to it.
Thanks so much.
Yeah, thanks so much for joining me today and talking to me. This was great.
It was a pleasure. Thank you for taking the time to listen and ask such amazing, deep questions.
Yeah, anytime. So you can find Anthony here on Instagram at Anthony D. Domenico, on YouTube as the same, and also under Dido as D1DO Music on Instagram, and his website, which is D1DOMusic.com. And to wrap everything up, I've got another Dido original for you. Don't Fade is Dido's single from earlier this year about staying true to yourself and refusing to give up hope.
What's up, guys? It's Dido, and you're listening to Hot Shots on Air on 101.5 The Hawk. Don't
fade away. Dido, Jilly, Jake, breathe. Don't fade. Don't fade away.
Another picture of the presence that is wanted.
I suppose, let it stream to your toes. Toes into the flow, from the highs to the lows. But through the struggles now that we rise and we grow. Make dreams all night, question what you know. Wanna drop down, just know you're never alone. Now we rise, time to go, let it shine as you go. Bringing in the heat like we melting all the snow.
Tell them all to go, we're elegant, we'll flow. Never been the center, but I'm ready for the show. If you ever been a foe, then we're sending you the code. Restructure your mind and let it all go. Breathe, breathe into your soul, into the space where you're feeling so cold. Stay high in the sky when your mind vibe low. If you wanna live fast, then you gotta ride slow.
Don't fade away. Do you know your life was no mistake?
So don't fade away.
Don't fade away. We can make this world a better place.
You're fading away. We aim for the stage, came for the show, but I stayed for the change.
Now we hear his gates with free break chains. Love has prevailed this time, make way.
Steadily elevating, ready to bring the message developed by kings.
So sing anthems, let it ring. Shine like bling, you a star, you can be anything.
The rhythm was was missing, but my ambition for spitting became a mission to give them a piece of my own life. Now I'm living so different, it's like I'm gifted. It's Christmas and I've been wishing for vision until the time goes by.
Don't fade away, do you know your life was no mistake? Don't fade away, don't fade away.
No more nights putting up a fight. I climb my heights, I see what it's like. I know everything gon' be alright.
So don't fade away. We can make this world a better place.
24 hours a day, 7 days a week. This is CIOI FM, Hamilton's 101.5 The Hawk.